this very moment, yet you've given us all eternity. Thank you, Harry. Okay, that's a song I wrote yesterday morning, Eternal Thanks. I don't have a name for it yet, but the Holy Spirit led me to sit down at the keyboard, and I just played this song through from beginning to end, and then the words came, and I thank God for that. That's why I tell everyone, it's not my music. It's a gift from God.
Amen. Amen. You know, with what Gene said, I'm reminded of what the Spirit, what the Word says, and that is that the gifts operate as the Spirit wills, not as we will. When God places a gift in us, it doesn't just, you can't just turn it on and off. With what goes in you, it's what causes change in many areas, and also that's what spurs these things, these words, and the change that comes from serving the Lord. Amen? And I like change. I went through a change this week. I appreciate that. Something that we all struggle with, but praise the Lord, I've got the victory. I've got the victory. Hallelujah. This is something that I've prayed for a long time. We'll talk about it this morning. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited about the word. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. Father, in Jesus' name, we, your people, come before you, Lord, and we acknowledge that, once again, this is your time. We are your people, Lord. And so we surrender to you, Lord, to your will, to your wish, and your desire, Lord, and to what your word says. Create in us, Lord, clean hands and a pure heart. Renew a right spirit within us. Cause us to look like and sound like and act like you, Lord, to imitate you, Father, the way Jesus did, and to be obedient without question, Father. And we thank you that if we do have a question, Lord, you're not taken back by that, Lord, but you answer. And for that, we praise you. So this morning, Lord, as we lift our hands and our hearts to you, Lord, in surrender and in praise and worship to you, Lord, we just thank you for your presence. We need your presence, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that people are going to be lifted up, comforted, exhorted, built up in love this morning. And we give you all praise and all honor and all glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes, Heavenly Father, it is exciting to be able to return to you what you so generously given to us, Heavenly Father. We ask you to bless what we are about to receive. We ask you to bless each and every one that is here today. We ask you to help us to have our ears open so we can hear what your Holy Spirit has for us today. In Jesus' most precious name we pray, amen.
Father, you are amazing this morning. You are a hiding place, Lord. You are a refuge. You are a high tower. The righteous run into you, Lord, and are safe. We thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We give honor to your word now, Lord. Father, I ask you to use me. Speak through me, Lord. Speak through these lips that are stammering, stumbling, Lord. Use me to convey your thoughts, your word today, Lord. Speak through me, Lord, to touch the hearts of your people, to edify, comfort, exhort, built up in love your people, Lord. Let there be change today, Lord. We desire change. We desire direction and correction from you today, Lord. For all this, we praise and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I didn't realize when I picked out the songs, because I didn't have my message prepared at that time, how poignant this "You Are My Hiding Place" really is. You know, He is our hiding place. And He always fills our heart with songs of deliverance. Now, I want to mention something about that. I got delivered this week from something that is it's a plague on mankind. It's a plague on Christians, and it's especially a plague on those who are in the world. And I've desired change in this area for so long. How many can attest to the fact that when something happens to you where you have been disrespected, you have been abused, you have been spoken to harshly, or somebody has done something that has either wounded or hurt you or offended you, what your heart does and what your thought process has become?
You want retaliation. You want God to put something in your heart if you're a Christian, you know, to set them in their place. I want to set that person in their place. I want to show them the wrongness of what they did. And so we sit and we devise and we mull over it and we meditate on it. And we give it so much time that, you know, it begins to take a root. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we need to remember always, family of God, is that there are reasons why people do what they do and what they say. It may be as simple as the fact that they have not given their life to the Lord. But it may be more deep than that in the fact that there is something in their life that has either kept them from or that they love that they're not willing to give up, number one. Number two, or that they have been disillusioned by God because of the actions or conditions that are in their environment. Are you with me? How many know what I'm talking about? This week I had something happen by somebody that's very close to me. This person really needs prayer, constant prayer. They've been hurt by many things. They've been disillusioned. And they're not operating in their right mind. Now, I don't mean they're insane, but you can't be in your right mind if you don't have the mind of Christ. And so they're out of control in many areas of their life, and they don't even see it. It's not even visible to them. And they, of all people, because they're not walking with God, they cannot see what they really look like to other people and how they act to other people. Oh, they can be sweet as honey when it comes to dealing with, say, somebody they work with. We don't want to tarnish that picture of who we are. But they can be crude and mean and even hurtful when it comes to somebody that's close to them. I don't know why it is, but we always seem to take out and put our worst forward when we're dealing with somebody we love. And that's hurtful. Come in. We've been missing you.
How you doing?
Good. Good to see you, Dave. Anyway. And as a result, you sit back and, you know, you mull it over. Also, when these things happen, these circumstances, there can begin to be a seed or a root of bitterness that begins to take place. First comes anger. The disillusionment that comes from whatever the circumstance is. And then comes the bitterness, which destroys not only the person who is entertaining or holding the bitterness, but the persons and people around them. The people they very love, they very much love and do not wish to destroy. But that bitterness will destroy you. It's like a cancer. We all know what cancer does. It destroys everything unless God deals with it. Thank God, God's the healer, amen. He provided a way for us to be healed. That's not just physical healing. That's mental and spiritual, financial, emotional healing, amen. He deals with the spirit, the soul, and the body. Hallelujah. And as this happened to me, I got sucked in for a moment in the heat of passion. And without going overboard, well, I mean, it was overboard because I raised my voice. But without using harsh words or nasty words or belittling or berating words, I confronted the issue. And when it was over with, there was damage done. By damage, I mean that there were people who were there who should never have seen nor heard what took place. And because of the lack of communication between this person and I, it further stifled the relationship. These are two people who love each other. And that can never change. I have not changed my mind. But what I'm trying to tell you is in the heat of that, like the song says, whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I immediately, the Spirit of God calmed me down. I sat there, and as these waves and floods tried to come in and tried to taint my thinking and to try to get me to retaliate and tried to think of things to say to try to get them to feel the hurt that I felt, it's almost like God said, peace, be still. And instead of thoughts of retaliation, I said to the Father, Father, I love that person. I'll not retaliate. And I'll not speak harsh to them. And Father, I release this whole thing, my fault, my shortcoming, their fault, their shortcoming, into your hands. I release them, Lord. I'll not put my hands on them in any way. And by that, I don't mean physically. I mean by trying to put them in their place, trying to get them to see the error of their way. Which usually does what? Creates more strife, more contention. Amen? Can you all say amen back to that? And immediately I was reminded of Psalms 42. If you want to turn with me, please do. Three verses. This will be where we start. Thank you, Father, for your word. Psalms 42, verses 5, verse 6, and verse 11. And this is what rose up in me. Why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. O my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember you from the land of Jordan and from the heights of Hermon and from the hill of Mizar. Why, again, the question is asked in verse 11, are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him, the help of my countenance and my God. And immediately peace came. Immediately peace came. The situation was over. Now my flesh, my soul nature, my emotions are still playing with it, but I'm not going to say anything unless God specifically opens a door and directs it. I'm not looking for them to say they're sorry. I'm sorry for my part in it. I'm sorry that I was the point or the focal point of their frustration and anger. But I'm not the reason why they're frustrated and anger. It's because they refuse to walk in the knowledge of God when they know where they need to be. Because they were brought up, and they were brought up in church and knew and know, not just knew, but know the right things to do. But because of the hurt, because of the anguish, because of the loss, because of the circumstances in their life, they can't see past that. And so now God is a target also. They acknowledge God. They acknowledge God has been in their life. They acknowledge God has done things for them. Recently, they've seen the hand of God and they've had to acknowledge it. But they're still dealing with the frustration and the hurt and the anger because they don't have any release. When you don't know God, where is your point of release? Where is your hope? There is none. Let me say that again. There is none. Wednesday night, we talked about setting the course of our lives by the things we say. Today, I want to talk about setting the course of restoration and reconciliation in not only your life, but the lives of people around you. God is a God of restoration. God is a God of reconciliation. And that's what He wants. He hates discord. He hates strife. It accomplishes nothing good. It causes deeper wounds. It causes deeper hurts. And it causes separation and enmity between people. People are not the enemy. The devil is the enemy. And we just sang, he's under our feet. We're the army of God. We have the armor of God. We're the children of God, the family of God. We're sons and daughters of God. And we are seated with Him at the right hand of God the Father. And Jesus is our head. And the enemy is our footstool. And that's where he needs to stay. It's time we, like God told Adam in the garden, that we're going to bruise his head. We're going to bruise his head. He's not smart enough to stay away and to stop attacking, so we'll just keep on attacking him with everything we know. And that's by, first of all, surrendering to everything God says and God pronounces that you have in Him, in Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. Why are you downcast? In other words, why are you reduced? Why are you weakened? Why are you despairing? Oh, my soul. How many know what the soul is? It's the heart of man. It's the mind, the will, the emotions. It's the seat of appetites. It's very, very much connected with the flesh of man. That's why we have to come to the place where we begin to have our mind renewed. And how do we do that? By the washing of the water of the Word. Amen? Let me tell you, I was the world's worst. Man, if you tacked, it's like I was backed in the corner, I was going to come out fighting. You may have bruised me, but I'm going to put a scab on your nose. How many know what I'm talking about? The soul is the seat of emotions and passion and the activity of the mind. Disquieted. This comes from the Merriam-Webster's dictionary. Disquieted means to take away the peace or tranquility or the lack of peace and tranquility. And yet, I have peace in God. I'm at rest. So in this, what would have normally been a reaction to the action or the attack now becomes an open door for God to promote healing, restoration, comfort. And instead of separation or discord, reconciliation. Amen? Hallelujah. It's an open door. Why? Because I didn't get in the place of God and tie His hands. I've been praying for that for 48 years. Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you do not faint. God hears your prayers. And He has a time and a place for everything. And as you grow, as that Word begins to grow inside you, you'll begin to see and to be walking. He always fills my heart with songs of deliverance. I'm delivered from the anger. I'm delivered from the hurt. I'm delivered from the anxiety of this situation. And I love that person. I love that person, and I will not turn back from that. I've made my determination. I've made my decision. And I'm going to walk in what God says is right. I don't care if it hairlips Congress. This is the way. Walk you in it. Amen. Hallelujah. The word hope in those three verses means to wait or to try. The help that he speaks of in those three verses is salvation, deliverance, and victory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the countenance, that's the presence of God. Harry often closes the meetings. There's a paper back there, and if I was smart, I'd get that paper and I'd start speaking that over you every time we left here. And I'm going to do that. And I am smart. Aha. Aha. See, I'm learning too. I'm getting something out of this word. I want God to change my life. You know that. I've been crying for that forever. I want my life changed. I want to be in His image and likeness. Not to retaliate or to be in judgment. If He didn't come to judge or condemn, what right do I have to do that? I may condemn the wrongdoing, but I'm not condemning the person. I may acknowledge in condemning, I mean say, you know, that wasn't right. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's not the person. Again, if you're hearing what I'm saying to you, there are conditions and things, especially in a person who doesn't know the Lord, in many cases in people who know the Lord, that cause them to react and to have the emotions and the feelings that they have. I don't want to be somebody who adds to that. I want to be somebody who brings peace, who brings healing, who brings comfort and a change in direction in their life. And I can't do it if I'm in their face saying, do you know what you did? Do you know how much you hurt me? You know what? If you'd have been thinking right, you'd have... No. That's counterproductive, ladies and gentlemen. Did you hear me? I said that is counterproductive. You might as well say amen. Or all me. Was this the truth? Turn with me, if you will, into James 3, verses 8 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. James chapter 3, verses 8 through 18. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Listen carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, we talked about the words that poison our lives and set the course for our lives, but now this is what poisons other people and what causes hurts and anxieties in people that cannot be changed by anything other than the love of God and the presence of God and you walking in the image and likeness of the God you serve. Verse 8, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God and our Father, and with it we curse men. Dear God, does that sound like the picture we're painting today? We want to bless God. We want to believe we got the best of God. But yet we turn around and the minute we walk out of here, somebody gets in our face and we're right back in the place where we were. And these people, these men have been made in the similitude or in the likeness of God. Huh. Listen to this. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. Wait a minute. That's called double-mindedness. The Scripture talks about a spring, and it either yields bitter water or it yields sweet water. It can't yield both. It's impossible. Salt water or fresh water. However you want to look at it. It can't yield both. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things should not be or ought not to be so. Does a spring set forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. Listen carefully. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. That's not weakness. That word meekness means humility. Understanding who you are and where you've come from, what God has done for you. I'm not talking about who you are in God. I'm talking about the fact that God is in your life. That's who God, that's who you are right now. God has changed you. He's making way for you. He's making you more in His image and likeness. Your understanding. We're talking about the mind here. That's why we wash it by the water of the Word, to get it renewed so that it doesn't think and react the way it does, the heart. Think about Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And that's the case if God is not in control in your life. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. Don't deny it. Fall on your face before God and ask Him to take it out of your life. Acknowledge it, confess it, forsake it, and watch the Spirit of God who's there to help you and who makes who's your advocate, making advocacy for you before the Father at all times, and get it out of your life. Pull that thing out by the roots by surrendering to God, not to the sin or the disobedience or the thing that causes more hurt and heartache, which is you trying to set it right and justify yourself. Oh, I didn't do nothing wrong. They got it. They got to straighten out. Did you look in the mirror? Enough said. Verse 15 says, this wisdom does not descend or come down from above, but is earthly. It's sensual. Sensual. You know what that is? That's the debased elements of man. Sensual in the respect of negative. I've got my rights. Do you know who I am? I'm going to make this right. You don't depend on anybody but you. And all you do is muck things up worse than they already are. And I thought God delivered us from the muck and mire. Say amen or oh me. Earthly, sensual, and demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Go back and read 1 Corinthians 13 again. I think that's spoken of there. I think you'll also find that in Galatians or Ephesians, wherever it talks about the fruit of the, or the demonstration of the flesh, you'll find these things listed there too. So if it's flesh, it's flesh, and it's not spirit. So it doesn't turn out for good. Amen? For envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure. You have first pure thoughts towards an individual or a situation. Usually it's individuals. Let's just be honest. We're talking about individuals here. Maybe even ourselves. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield. Oh man, that really goes against everything that's in us. I'm supposed to lay down and put up with this? Why do I have to change? Why don't they change? Where's your heart? Where's your emotions at that moment? Full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now listen carefully. This is how the fruit of righteousness is sown. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Hallelujah. Proverbs 13:12 says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." I told you I've been praying for 48 years for this kind of a change in my life. Not to be a retaliator, but an instant releaser, forgiver, release. Not forgive like I forgive you, because you can't do that. Anybody here got a handle on that? You can forgive? No, because it still eats at you inside. But when you release it to God, when you cast your care on Him because He cares for you, then He takes that care. He does what's necessary to transform and change and bring peace into your life, but also into your situation and into the other party, because it always takes two. For there to be discord, Gene and I talked about this morning, for there to be discord, there has to be two. For there to be contentions, there has to be two. For there to be strife, there has to be two. But for there to be fellowship, there has to be two also. Fellowship is two fellows in the same ship, not an opposite ship firing cannons at each other. Say amen or oh me. Proverbs 18, verses 19 through 21 says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle." Contentions are like the bars of a castle. "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth." If you're going to be satisfied, you need to be looking at the fruit that's coming to your mouth, from your mouth. If you're not satisfied, maybe it's time you got a different kind of fruit coming out of your mouth. Verse 20 says, that's Proverbs 18, verses 19 through 21. "A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth, from the produce of his lips. He shall be filled." We don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Is this helping anybody? Is this touching anybody? Praise the Lord. It is me. Verse 21 says, "Death." Listen, people, please. Family of God, listen carefully. "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit." Do you know that your words can be just as deadly as any weapon there is out there? You can destroy people. You can cause a brother to be offended. Now, he can be won back, but it's going to take change on your part. And you looking and smelling like, being so close to the Father that you have His aroma on you. Amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'll tell you what, this is overwhelming to me. This is overwhelming to me, this is what God gave me. I couldn't even go to sleep the night this happened. I mean, I could go to sleep, but I mean, God was speaking to me, and I didn't dare let it go. I had to get up and write. About three or four times I got up and wrote. And this all came over a period of the last few days. In verse 19, the word offended means to do wrong, to cause difficulty, discomfort, or injury, to cause dislike, Well, I don't like that person. You don't have to like them, you have to love them. Do you hear me? You don't have to like them, you have to love them. What does the Bible say? It says, do good to those that despitefully use you and persecute you. And if it wasn't for Jesus in your life, you'd be just like them, you old ugly thing. You understand what I'm saying? It's too easy to forget where we came from and who we were before we knew the Lord. When something happens, it's like we lose our mind. Oh my goodness. Anger, hurt, violate, to outrage, affront, and insult. That's what offended means. Those are the things you are. In verse 19, and it mean what it means is when offended, what it really means is to cause hurt feelings or deep resentment. Is the shoe starting to fit? But you're getting free, aren't you? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The word outrage implies, in verse 19, offending beyond endurance. You become outraged. You've been offended beyond your endurance, or so you think, or so you rationalize in your mind. And it causes extreme feelings. You've been treated, and now you want to treat with deliberate rudeness or contemptuousness. Indifference to courtesy. Thank you, Lord. I cast all my care on you because you care for me. Deliberately causing humiliation, hurt, pride, or shame. Father, forgive us. I repent, Lord. I repent, Lord. I'm sorry. Thank you for coming to my rescue and your people's rescue. I'm not going to go through that again. I pray you were taking notes and you wrote it all down. If you want to hear it again, you get the CD. In Psalm 4:4, we're admonished to be angry and do not sin. Meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. Hello? Now, he just gave you the whole key to everything. Be angry. Angry is not the same as mad. Anger is righteous indignation against the enemy and wrong, but it's not being mad against an individual. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to look at the definition here in a minute. When you're mad, you've lost your mind. Let me say that again. When you're mad, you've lost your mind. It's not anger and mad are not the same thing. Any more than when God says, thou shalt not kill, he's talking about murder, not protecting yourself or war. That's another message. Enough said. Be angry and do not sin. How do you do that? You meditate within your heart on your bed and be still. That word meditate in the King James means commune. To say in one's heart or to think. The Webster's definition is to focus one's thoughts on or reflect or ponder over. But in order to do that, you can't just sit there and be seething mad at somebody else. You've got to look at your participation in that situation. Once again, it takes two to tango. Ephesians 4:26 and 27. Again, he says in the New Testament, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. So if you don't give place to the devil, what do? You give place to God. Let me ask you this question. Which do you think looks like God and which do you think looks like the devil? Retaliation, putting somebody in their place, you being as vile and hurtful as they are, or surrender to God, allowing God to go in, massage the hearts of both parties, and change that situation. Hallelujah. The word sun in verse 26 is the light of day. Don't let the light of day go down on your wrath. The word wrath means indignation, wrath or exasperation. Oh man, I can't tell you the times that I was so exasperated I wanted to. The Bible says lay hands on no man suddenly, but I've had urges where I want to lay hands on somebody real fast. I'll let that go right there. When it says go down, that means obviously set. Very simple. Place means don't give the opportunity, power, or occasion for acting to those things. How do you do that? Only by the presence of the Holy Spirit, the help of God through the Holy Spirit. Amen. Galatians 6:7-10. If you want to turn there with me. Or if you're writing it down, just go ahead and write it down and I'll read it to you. You can go back and look at it later. Galatians 6:7-10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For what a man sows, that will he also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good. We just talked about that. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, when you've been wrong, there's an opportunity. Hello? Are you with me? Let us do good to all, especially, he says to all, but he says especially to those of the household of faith. See, every time something like this happens, it's an opportunity. An opportunity to fail or an opportunity for God to raise you to a higher place and to put heap hot coals on those who are doing wrong. You are my hiding place. You always, always fill my heart with songs of deliverance whenever I am afraid. I will trust in you. Let the weak say, I am strong. In where? How? What strength? The strength of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Matthew 18:7 says, woe to the world because of offenses. We already explained what offenses or offended is. For offenses must come, but woe to that man by whom this offense comes. Oh, buddy, you're going to get yours. I'm offended. God says, you know, and instead of releasing it, this is another area. We again, self-righteous can sneak up on you from all kinds. I mean, it's devious. Ooh, it's devious. I don't even know what I'm talking about. It'll sneak up on you and say, oh, God's going to get you. Instead of saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I remember reading that someplace. And if I remember correctly, Jesus was speaking about me. Amen? Matthew 18:7. I didn't know if we'd get through this. Woohoo! Thank you, Lord. Matthew 18:7. You want to turn with me to that? I didn't write the scripture down. I mean, I didn't write it down here so I could just quote it to you. Matthew 18:7. But whosoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better. Did you hear that? Causes him to sin. Matthew 18:7. Excuse me, that's verse 6. I'm sorry to you. I'm sorry. Right place, just one verse too early. Woe to the world because of offenses. Thank you, Donna. For offenses must come, but woe to the man by whom the offense comes. And again, we see in two different places that God's talking about this exact thing. That word offenses in Matthew 8:7 means any person or thing by which one is entrapped or drawn into error or sin. Are you going to allow yourself to be drawn into error or sin? Or are you going to walk in the Word? Are you a victim or a victor? You know, it's all right to respond to some of these things, folks. It really is. Are you a victim or a victor?
Victor.
Amen. How do we know that? Because God says He's more than a conqueror. You're more than a conqueror through Him. And not only that, He says you're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. He says only with your eye will you behold and see the reward of the wicked. He says, and 1,000 will fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come nigh you. Even though the arrow flies by day and the pestilent waits in darkness, it will not come nigh you. It will not come nigh you. It won't come near you. That's a good place to shout. Matthew 12:37 says, for by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. In other words, the word justified means rendered righteous. By your words you will be rendered righteous, or by your words you will be pronounced guilty. Ow. Ow. Are your feet hurting yet? There's healing. We'll pray for healing afterwards. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, not by emotions, not by passions, these are the sons of God. Galatians 5:16 says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk in the knowledge of God, walk in the renewing of your mind, and you will not fulfill the lust of your flesh. That's wanting to retaliate, wanting to get even, wanting to cause damage because of damage or hurt that's been caused to you. I looked up the word mad in the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, and here's what it says. Disordered in mind. Completely unrestrained by reason. Incapable of being explained or accounted for, or carried away by intense anger. You'll lose your mind. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to remind you that you're never out of control if God's in control. Situation may get out of control, but that doesn't mean you have to get out of control. Did you hear me? Thank you, Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I'm getting hope out of this. There's hope. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:1 says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. And again, that word wrath there means heat, rage, hot displeasure, indignation, and what happens? Poison. We read about the tongue. The tongue is an unruly evil. It sets on fire the course of nature. With it we bless God, but we curse men. Father, forgive us. It means venom, burning anger, or rage. Now I want to leave you with six things, 6 points you want to consider in any situation that arises. You want to be mindful of, you know, if it goes back to the old WWJD days, what would Jesus do? First thing you want to do is look at the cause of the anger. Not be a part of it, but look at the cause. Ask God to give you understanding in the cause of the anger of the other person. And then ask Him, if you're getting angry, or you're starting to feel things of retaliation, or getting even, ask Him to reveal the anger in you. But you wronged me. I've got a right to be mad. No. Got a righteous anger and you don't sin, then you're okay. But if you're angry, usually it's leading to thoughts of retaliation or harm to another, which doesn't fix the situation. It makes the situation more volatile. Amen. Consider what you're sowing to. Are you sowing to the flesh or the spirit? Number two, are you sowing to the flesh or are you sowing to the spirit? Consider the offense. By considering it, I don't mean sit and dwell on it. I've been offended. Don't you understand you offended me? I can understand. Tie it outside. And then, the fourth point. Let yourself be led by the Spirit. Listen to what He's saying. Listen to where He's taking you. Number five is vengeance. Consider whether you're looking at vengeance or healing in the situation or the circumstance for that one, not only for you, but for the one who has caused the error. Don't enter into their sin by being on the same level with them. Don't enter into the same error by getting on the same level with them. Amen? That's just dumb. That's ignorance gone to seed. And then walk in forgiveness, or walk in releasing all to God. Amen? And you know what the outcome is going to be in closing? Listen to this. If nothing else excites you, this ought to excite you. And when you do that, then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 I experienced it. It's real. It can work in your life as it's worked in my life just this past week. And you know what? I'm not bragging, but I'm excited because I didn't stoop to that level and I didn't start to take on the image of somebody that I've been delivered from, somebody that I have no association with anymore. He is not my Father any longer. My Father is the one who I love, who gave me a Savior, who is my advocate, my intercessor, my high priest. Amen. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. But God, this is not like me. Yeah, it's like God. You just look like God. You just look like God. Which surpasses all understanding. What does it do? It guards your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It immediately reminds you, the Holy Spirit comes on the scene, and that peace that comes from the presence of God in your life and from the changes, the promises that you know you have, which are in Him, yes, and so be it, or amen. And it reminds you of the righteous things to do, not the unrighteous. It totally arrests and takes away the negative and puts it down. Puts it down. So that you can think in your right mind, not be out of your mind. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you glad you came today? Praise the Lord. I'm excited in God. And you know what else? It's just one more time when I see that God promises fulfilled. He's never left me. He's never forsaken me. And where He's proved to me again, He has only my good in mind. Amen. Hallelujah. God's not here, nor are we here to embarrass anybody. But if you've been struggling with some of these things, maybe this very thing I'm talking about, and I know there's not a person in this room right now, a person within the sound of my voice as this DVD goes out over the internet, that has not been in this situation, where something has touched you so deeply that you're shocked. You're shocked, first of all, you're caught by surprise, but yet you're enraged. Maybe it's a loved one. Maybe it's a child. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a friend or a neighbor. Where you've been so wrong and it's been consuming you because you can't get free, or it seems like you can't get free. I ask you again, as we read in Psalms in the beginning, why is your soul downcast? put your hope in God. Hello? Where's the answer lie? In God. In God. You got it. You got it. In God. I don't want to be like the world. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. And the minute I stoop to their level, I look just like them. I've been delivered from that. Thank God. Thank God. Thank you, Lord. I've been delivered from that. I'm here, but I don't have to partake in that. I don't have to be a part of that. Glory to God. I'm free. I'm free. You're free if you walk in the truth. Walk in the light God's shown today. Walk in the light as He is in the light. What does He say? You'll have fellowship with one another. Fellowship with one another. Not discord, not disharmony. Even your enemy, or who you perceive your enemy is, will be at peace with you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. I give you glory. Hallowed be your name, Lord. Mighty God. Mighty God, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of my praise. I lift my hands to you, my life to you, Lord. The highest praise I can give is to give my life to you. And I surrender today, Lord, once again. And I'll wake up tomorrow surrendering again, Lord, because it's an everyday event, Lord. It's new every day, a new life, a new walk. Yesterday is history. Tomorrow is a mystery, but today is a present. It's a gift. That's why they call it the present. Hallelujah. If you need prayer, come. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. If you don't want to come, just grab one of us or several of us as we walk by, and we'll pray with you. Did you get a blessing today? Certainly. No, limits one. Of course you can. Of course you can.
So my son's fiance is due with twins January 12th.
Okay.
Well, they decided they wanted to come on a couple days ago, 3 days ago.
Okay.
They're still inside. They're still cooking. And I would like prayer that they stay in there.
Amen.
Healthy enough to come out. They're 6 weeks early. So
amen.
So prayer for that. And this is very pertinent because you all know the strife I've had with my dad's wife. Uh-huh. She's just been diagnosed with breast cancer. And so I'd like to pray for that.
Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. If you sow to the flesh, you will of the flesh reap corruption. If you sow to the wind, you will of the wind reap the whirlwind. That's not God's plan. God doesn't want to see this lady suffer. But I also know God will do anything He needs to do to get our attention. Father, right now we lift up Kathy's daughter-in-law and her son. And Father, we say in Jesus' name, Lord, You designed the plan for children to be incubated, to the gestation period, to go for 9 months, Lord. I'm not medically inclined, but Lord, You know what I'm saying. And so, Lord, we ask for Your blessing, and we ask for Your will to be done in this thing. And that is that for those kids to be born when the time is right, not when a minute before and not 1 minute after. And Lord, that You will get honor and glory, and there will be no mistake. You are the one who caused this to happen. I don't care what the pronouncements are. I don't care what the people say, what their diagnoses are, what their opinions are. Your opinion is the only one that matters. So we look to You, the author and finisher of our faith, in Jesus' name. And we thank You in advance for the outcome of this being good. Being good. And You getting all the glory. Father, for this woman, her as a stepmother, Father, in Jesus' name, we lift her up. Cancer's not from You, Lord. That's not Your plan. You said You wanted all to be saved. Lord, I pray right now as I send Your word to this lady that she would look to You and that You would, by the Spirit, make her willing to be made willing to do your will. Make her to will and to do of your good pleasure, Lord. And by make her, Lord, you know what that means. I'm not talking about force her physically, but Lord, by your gentle spirit, by your leading and guiding, and by your touch, Lord, lead her into righteousness. We pray for her soul, Lord. We don't want her to perish, Lord, without you. We want to see salvation come. So, Lord, again, we put her in your hands, but again, we come against the enemy. We say you will not have any part in our lot in this. You will not have control of this. You do not have control of this. We have control because we are in the image and likeness of Jesus. We have been given authority and power in these situations, and we walk in the truth and in agreement with your word, Lord. So in Jesus' name, we thank you for the mighty outcome, Lord, and for total restoration and total healing in Kathy's family, Lord. Whatever it takes, and in every family that's represented here, Lord, everyone within the sound of my voice, whether in this place, Lord, or out in the world as they hear your word, Lord, that they're changed, transformed, and that they're set free from the destruction of the enemy and this world in Jesus' name. And we give you praise and thanksgiving in advance. And we believe no other report, Lord. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Anybody else? Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we know Marie is going in for surgery on Tuesday, whatever that means, Lord, whether it's day surgery or whatever, Lord, you're in control. We ask you to guide the hands of the surgeons, Lord. We ask you for your mind and your opinion and your thoughts to be in them, Lord. We come against self-righteousness or self-exaltation, and Lord, that your peace, I speak your peace into Harry and Marie right now, Lord. There's going to be a good outcome. You're not done with them, Lord. You've got more for them to do. We're not ready for them to go, but you're not ready for them to go, Lord. I believe that. And I thank you, Lord, that this is going to turn out for good. What was meant for their harm and Marie's harm is turning out for good, and Harry's harm with the emotional. We pray for emotional strength and peace in those emotions for both of them. And in the physical, Lord. And we thank you, it's done. We send your word. Say, Father, it's done in Jesus' name, according to your word. Amen. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Yes, sir. Charles, that's why he's not here today. Amen. Well, Father, sore shoulders are not from you. And Lord, no matter what this world says, because we get over that older, that doesn't mean we diminish in the things that you've put in us and in the things that are important. We may in some ways not be able to do the things we used to do, but we're not to diminish. You said, Lord, we're not to suffer loss. So Lord, right now we send your word to Charles and say, Charles, in Jesus' name, be healed. Pain, bones, ligaments, muscles, you go back into order the way God designed them, and you, pain and suffering, go back on the one who sent it. You're back on the enemy right now in Jesus' name. You can't stay here, and you can't stay on our brother in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for Bob and Karen, Lord. I thank you. Let them be blessed as they celebrate their anniversary, Lord. But Father, I pray that you would, your presence, your peace, your love would just completely engulf them right now, Lord. For those who need it, Father, I pray that your arms of love would wrap around them, that they'd know your presence, Lord, in a way they've never, ever experienced before, Lord. Songs of deliverance, Lord, whenever we're afraid. We trust in you. We hope in you. We're not downcast. Our souls are not downcast, Lord, because our hope and our trust is in you and in your countenance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless Patrick and Donna for opening their home, Lord. Now, May your countenance come and shine on every person in this place. May your will be done in their lives, be done in this earth as it is in heaven. For this we praise and thank you as we dismiss, Lord. Thank you for a good week, a week blessed, a week filled with your presence, with the knowledge of God in our lives and the manifestations of those things right before our eyes continually. The blessings that you promised, Lord. We praise and thank you. Let your word be sealed in every heart by the Spirit of promise, the Spirit of truth. And all who agree, say amen. Be blessed. Don't forget the fellowship at Patrick and Donna's. If you can come, and if you can't, be blessed anyway. We're going to miss you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anything else? All hearts clear. Be blessed. Go with God.